I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. Well, where do I begin? Got a few things to go over. You know, I got to say something, and that is that when I first started doing the videos and the podcast, I still kind of felt like there was a lot to go over about living in Thailand and people who are moving to Thailand, what they need to know. I just felt like there was a lot to talk about. But and even in the beginning, though, I kind of felt like living in Thailand, it's not exotic to me anymore. It's not like I'm living in a foreign country. This is home. I'm comfortable here. I pretty much know how everything works. And if I ever have any problems, I just ask my wife. And the thing is that it's no longer an exotic place to me. That makes it relatively boring to me. What I forget sometimes is that it's quite exciting to many people, especially to those people who are moving here or have just recently moved here. So I'm trying to remember that. I'm doing less and less YouTube videos, and there's a couple of reasons why. One is I just can't keep up the pace. I just don't have the time. I can't write, photograph, work on my websites, take care of my kids, spend time with the family, and do other things that need to be done. There's just not enough time in the day for me. So I'm doing less YouTube videos, and slowly but surely you will notice that I will move over to putting on more and more videos and podcasts in the members area and less in the YouTube. I think it's already started to happen. People have asked me why I'm not putting so many videos on YouTube and that kind of thing. But, you know, it's I don't really feel I owe anybody other than the people who are members and who are paying. I like to help people, but I just, like I said, I just don't have enough time. And I have to say something else. Now, and nobody knows about this other than a couple of my close friends, but there are two people on YouTube who have – well, I think it's the same person. They claim to be brothers. They've been issuing death threats against me. And the reason is apparently because of something I said about America. Now – if anyone is interested in helping me track this, the emails that I got from them down, I'm having problems finding their location because of the IP address. I can't seem to find it in the email. I don't know what they did or if they did anything, or it's just because it's sent from a Mac through Gmail to my iCloud account or whatever it is. But I am going to talk to some people with the police that I know in the U.S. and see what they can do, because, you know, it's one thing if you call me a motherfucker or you call me an asshole or you tell me I'm a fat piece of shit or whatever. I don't care about that. But when you start issuing death threats and putting out death threats against me, and I mean, these were pretty nasty death threats. First of all, you don't scare me because, you know, when it's my time, it's my time. But when you start involving my family, that's when it gets very, very serious. And believe me, I have no problem with the idea of killing somebody if it's necessary. I'm crazy like that, and I'm stupid like that. If anybody comes near me that is trying to hurt me, they'll get shot. They'll get their head blown off. They'll get their throat slit. Whatever. Whatever it takes, it will happen. But, you know, I just figured I'd let some of the people out there, the only people who know about this now are the members and a couple of my close friends and my family. But when you start, you know, when people start sending things like, you know, death threats against me and my kids and my wife, you know, I take it seriously and I take it very personally. Because there's no reason for that. I mean, you don't have to like me. You don't have to like what I say or any of that. That's fine. But you don't have to do that kind of thing. And when that that comes out, basically, you know, all I said was, if you're going to do it, stop talking about it and just come over and do it. Because, you know, you might find that you're a little surprised at what happens. And that's all I'm going to say about it. So let me go on and get to a little more positive notes. And that is, I got to say something. You know, some people, they think that a lot of Thais, they're so poor and, oh, you know, I feel sorry for them and that kind of thing. Okay, it's true. There are definitely poor Thais. There are poor Americans. There are poor Europeans. There are poor people all around the world. And when I mean poor, I mean impoverished. But I have to say that that does not mean that all Thai people are money hungry grubs who are just trying to rip you off. And I know that some people have that impression, or they get that impression from a bad experience or from what they've heard or whatever. But I got to tell you, the other day I took a motorcycle from my house and I went over to my kid's school. And the thing is, I was a little bit behind. I was running behind, and I needed to pick them up, and I didn't want them to have to wait. So I didn't want to take a taxi. I don't like taking a motorcycle because, first of all, it hurts my hip. I can barely get my leg over the motorcycle seat now because my hip is so bad, and it's painful to sit that way. But like I said, I didn't want to leave my kids waiting for me. So I took a motorcycle from my house, and I know the guy. The guy takes me to the mall all the time. He takes me to the post office. He takes me to the hospital. And I know him very well. I've become, you know, friends with him, I guess. You know, we talk about what's going on in each other's life when we see each other and how you doing and that kind of thing. Now, he took me over to this place, and I said to him, how much is it? 180 baht. Now, 180 baht is about almost $6. And I said to him, listen, that's quite a bit because I can get over in a taxi for 100 or 120 baht. I think you're asking way too much. He said, no, that's what the price is. And I said, okay, fine, I'll give it to you, you know, whatever. Now, in my eyes, I'm still thinking the guy is hitting me up for too much money, at least by 50 baht. That's what I thought. And I went over, I did what I had to do. I got my kids and brought them back home and everything. And a couple of days later, I was in the same position. I had to get over there quickly. I got a motorbike, and this time I got a guy who was not one of my regular drivers. So he takes me over, and I said, how much is it? 100 baht. Now, that's what I figured it should be. So the next – I told my wife about it, and she said, you know, 180 baht is way too much. He overcharged you. So the next time the guy came – he was going to take me to the mall, and mind you that this guy, he has a motorcycle, and I noticed one day that he had an oil leak in the back, and I said to him, dude, you got an oil leak, there's oil all over the back of your, the back of the sprocket or whatever, and the motor and stuff, there was a bunch of oil leaking, and I said, you know, when are you going to get that fixed? You need to get that fixed before you ruin your motorcycle. And he said, it's 1,000 baht. I don't have the money now. And I said, oh, well, okay. All right, I understand, you know. Anyway, so when I saw him the next time, he took me to the mall. And from my house to the mall is 30 baht, okay, by motorcycle. He's got to go through Tesco Lotus, and he goes out to the main road on Lod Prow, and he gets over by, Bunkaby Market, and he does a U-turn, and then he takes me right, drops me off right in front of the mall. Now, I could be dropped off across the street from the mall, go up over the overpass, and go down the stairs, or go up to the second floor of the mall, or whatever, and go in that way. However, I've been trying to walk as little as possible because I want my hip to heal or to get better or whatever. I just want as least wear and tear on my leg that is possible. And my knee is going bad. My left knee, my right hip, my left knee, they're going bad. I have a feeling that at least when I'm a little bit older, I'm going to need a hip replacement and maybe a knee replacement. So I'm trying to do what I can to minimize the pain and the wear. So I just have him drop me off in front of the mall. Now, he brings me to the mall, and on the way, I said to him, listen, the other day, I got a guy, he's one of your little crew, you know, one of the guys that sits in the same little area that he does, and he brought me over to the same place, to the school that you did the other day, and you charged me 180 baht, and you know what? The guy charged me 100 baht. And he said, oh, really? And I said, yeah, really. Now, I don't know if it was because my wife uses him to deliver some things that she makes by hand for a couple of different companies. And each time he goes, he gets 300 baht. He goes, drops the stuff off, and then comes back. Boom, 300 baht in his pocket. Now, I don't know if he gave me the discount that he was going to give me because of this or because he just knew he was wrong. But he said to me, oh, I charged you too much. I'm really sorry. And I said, okay, no problem. So when we got off in front of I got off in front of the mall, he said, listen, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me today. I said, no, I'll give you the money. It's okay. Don't worry about it. He said, no, I charged you too much. I was wrong. He said, I'm sorry. You don't have to pay me. I said, okay, all right, fine, whatever, you know. And then the other day, he took me to the hospital for my physical therapy appointment, and I always take a motorcycle to the physical therapist because the motorcycles take a back route. And it drops me off. They drop me off right at the hospital, right at the doorstep of physical therapy. Whereas if I take a taxi, I have to go out onto Lod Prow, and then I have to make a U-turn and come back. And it's because of the traffic and everything, it's just a big pain in the ass. So I always take a motorcycle. And when I took the motorcycle, he said to me again, you don't have to pay for this one. I said, oh, wow. Now, you know, here's a guy who – and by this time, he's on a different motorcycle. So I don't know if he's getting his motorcycle fixed, if the thing took a dump or what happened. But here's a guy who can't afford 1,000 baht to fix his method of earning a living. And he's giving me a discount on my fares because – he felt that it was wrong for him to overcharge me. Now, like I said, it could be because my wife, you know, every, say, week or 2 weeks, my wife will throw him 300 baht and a guy will go and deliver her package for her. But nevertheless, you know, this is reflective of how many Thai people are. You know, there are a lot of Thai people. They are just good, hardworking people. They're out to do what they can to make an honest living. And, you know, they don't need to rip people off, and they don't have the time, or they don't want to take the effort to rip somebody off and then have somebody come back and be all pissed off and start shit with them. So, you know, this is something I think people should keep in mind if you're listening to this and if you're planning on moving here or if you live here. There are honest people, plenty of them. And I got to say that I hear about a lot of people who have problems here with Thais, and they don't get taxis and they don't get this and they don't get that. I have to say that my own problems here in Thailand, any issues that I have, are relatively few. And I don't know if it's just because I just have that Mike and Rye attitude now, or I know how to handle things or whatever it is, but very seldom do I have anybody fucking with me for no reason or trying to cheat me or rip me off. Once in a while, I get a taxi driver who says, oh, no, I can't go. And I always say, why? You know it's a law. You need to pick me up. You've got your front light on that says you're available. You know that you – need to pick me up. And some of them know and some of them don't know. That's not the point. The point is that, really, if I wanted to be difficult about it, and if a guy has a decent attitude, if he wants to be difficult about it and he has a bad attitude, then a lot of times I'll snap his license plate or remember his license plate, and I will call up the transportation authority and report him, and then that goes on his record. But the thing is I can't remember the percentage of drivers who drive illegally, taxi drivers who drive illegally here, but it is quite high. It was something, I can't remember the number, to tell you the truth. I don't remember, but it was much higher than most people expected. And maybe this is why, this is one reason why. But I personally have seen less and less taxi drivers turning me down. It doesn't usually happen very often, but I've seen less of this happening. So, that's something else to keep in mind. Now, I guess that's about it for right now. I wanted to keep this relatively short today. I'm trying to schedule my time into blocks and stick to it. I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying to watch what I eat, which takes time. I'm monitoring my food intake and all this other kind of stuff. And I've got my physical therapy. I've got to go out and get groceries, every other day or so to get fresh food for myself and my family. And then I'm working on the websites. I'm working on my photo website right now. It is up, at least partially. It's partially completed, scottmallon.net. And in the near future, I'd say probably within the next 2 weeks, I'll have a couple of hundred photos up that are available for purchase. Some of them will be downloadable so that you can use it on your computer, or you can print it out yourself, or you can do whatever you want with it as long as it's not commercial. And then many of them will be available in fine art prints where you get a signed print with a certificate of authenticity. It'll be numbered. There's only, I think I decided upon 20 is the limit of the prints. So there'll only be 20 of them in the world. I think it's 15 or 20. I can't remember what I wrote, but that tells you something. I'm not the my memory is not the best. That said, people have bugged me for a little while and tried to push me into doing some crowdfunding, and I've kind of, made mention. Those who have followed me for a while know that I've kind of made mention that, hey, if you want to help support my photo expedition or whatever, please do this or please do that. But I haven't really done anything formally, and the reason is because you lose anywhere from about 9 to 12 or even 15% of what is donated. And I need quite a few things to do the kind of expeditions that I really want to do. This is what I want to do with the rest of my life while I can do it, while I can fit, while I am physically capable. I want to do some expeditions and do some traveling that is unlike what most people do. I'd like to go down a river in India. I don't know if I want to go down the Ganges or whatever it is. I'd like to go down the Mekong. I've already went and did one part of that already. I can pretty much finance that myself. But when it comes to going to Africa, I think I'm going to make a crowdfunding campaign for that. And I may use GoFundMe. And the reason is that you can have it any length of time, which means I could collect funds for 6 months. And the amount of money that is necessary to go to Africa and to stay there for a month or two, which is what I would need, is staggering. It's truly unbelievable how expensive it is and what is necessary to be able to do that. And I've just been thinking about it, and while I want to help people learn about Asia and Thailand, I also want to do my own things with my photography. And I figure I got about another 20 years left in me, 15, 20 years of being able to move around and do photography and shoot projects that I and subjects that I want to photograph. And I think that this is something I can help bring to people around the world. And you know, I think I can definitely help people with moving to Thailand. One thing I'm going to do is start concentrating on Asia a little bit more. So I've got the Mekong River is one thing I want to do. I want to do something in Asia that encompasses two or three of the countries. If I do the Mekong the way that I want to do it, I'll already go through Laos and Vietnam and back to Cambodia again and China. So that is one thing. But I also want to do something down by Indonesia and Malaysia and try to do something. I haven't figured it out exactly. And then I want to do the Africa thing. So I've got one more trip in me this year. I'm not sure if it's going to be to Tibet or to Vietnam, as I had planned to do this past trip. But I got one more trip in me. And then next year, I want to do the Africa and one other trip, a big trip in Asia, and then a couple of smaller ones. So there are some things going on behind the scenes. I'm sorry for not always keeping up with the videos and the podcast like I have said I was going to do. I'm trying to do two podcasts a week. I think it's, what is it, Tuesday and Friday, and then a video or two every week. And then I'll do one or two videos on YouTube, and I think that's my schedule. I think I can handle that. That's like six things that I got to do. So I guess that's it. Until next time, I want to talk next time about the phrase "I'm sorry" in Thailand, and also guns in Thailand, and how dangerous Thailand is. And then, of course, I am still working on the Philippine versus Cambodia comparison. Excuse me. You know, I gotta say that a lot of people, most of them were Filipino, seemed to get very, very upset with my comparison of Thailand and the Philippines. And you know, I gotta say something. When I'm in the Philippines, I like the Philippines. I like the Filipino people. I don't have any problems with anybody, but I prefer Thailand. Simple as that. And some of the things I said about the Philippines, like Filipino girls, they like to leave the country because they want to get the fuck out of the Philippines. I think that's true. Now, granted, they want to support their families, but so do Thai women. And Thai women prefer to stay in their country. Now, that may be because Thais don't generally assimilate into foreign cultures as well as the Filipinos do. But that doesn't mean that you need to get pissed off at me about it. That doesn't mean that people have to berate me. And one thing that always gets me is people always call me this fat fuck. And I guarantee you, if you see me, yeah, I got a bit of a belly on me, but you know what? I'm a big boy. And I'm not nearly as fat as what people think, especially now. And it's surprising to some people because a lot of times the only thing that people see is my head and shoulders. And they think because I got a big neck and I got a second chin that I'm this huge fat fuck. And I'm not. So, you know, I think that says something in itself. But one thing that really irks me about Filipinos and people who are so vehement about the Philippines being so much better than Thailand, what really bothers me is you cannot criticize the Philippines. I remember I criticized Manny Pacquiao. I said he's on the verge of being defeated. He cannot keep this pace up. He cannot keep fighting who he's been fighting. And I think with all the external things going on, he's going to lose. And I just got jumped on. You know, I mean, heavy duty people were all over me. And then I wrote in an article, I can't remember if it was for Ring Magazine or who it was for, but I said something like, Filipino fans are rabid to the point of lunacy for Manny Pacquiao. And the truth is that that is a very truthful statement. They always have been extreme fans. They're the kind of fans that they want to know what color shoes he's wearing, what kind of laces is he wearing, what's he doing, how's Manny doing? He's our national hero. And I understand that, but there are going to be positives and negatives stated about him. Now, one thing that I said was that I thought Juan Manuel Marquez could beat him. If you know anything about boxing, Marquez is a very gifted technical fighter. And I thought that he won at least one of the other fights with Pacquiao. And I said, I think he's got his number. And when they fought the last time, I saw him loading up with the right hand, Marquez. And I said, he's going to catch him with this right hand because he's just trying to time it to where Pacquiao makes one wrong move, bing, he throws the right hand and it's over. And sure enough, he knocked him spark out. And I had to say to myself that I really felt that while I didn't like to see Pacquiao lose in that fashion because he's a fantastic fighter, he's one of the all-time greats. I don't know how I got on the subject of boxing, but here I am. I got to say that it felt good in a way because, first of all, Marquez has worked very hard. And a lot of the Filipinos laughed because Pacquiao has beat him. And I thought maybe it humbled the Filipinos a little bit. And then, and Bradley had beaten him. And say what you will about, oh, he didn't win or he did win. The fact is that the judges said Bradley won, and he'll always have the win in the record books. So, that's something that really irks me about Filipinos. They cannot take criticism. You talk about America, people don't take it so harshly. Maybe this is because for many people, Pacquiao is their savior. He is somebody that they look to as someone who made it and is an example of what they too can do with their lives if they persevere and if they have a little luck and this and that. So I don't really know what the reasoning is, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know how I got on the subject of boxing really, but anyway, that's all I've got for right now. Until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Choke D, La Jerkin Mind.